Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this rainy evening. At least it's rainy in Dillingham. Set netters and drifters in the Nooshigak section had their first opener today. Wood River Escapement has passed the 100,000 fish floor for commercial fishing to be allowed in the district. Igigik is above its 2019 escapement, but about 500,000 lower than last year's harvest. It is Thursday, June 25th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross.
Gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Coming up tonight, it might seem like a long wait for Nooshigak section fishers, but biologists say this year is actually right on track.
We really wanted to wait and let kings go by. I feel like we did let a bunch of kings go by, but at the same time, we had to respond to escapement in the Wood River.
A new rule to the Paycheck Protection Program allows commercial fishing businesses to include their crew member payroll when they apply for the PPP. We have an update on COVID-19 numbers from the Bristol Bay Borough, and we're going to take some of those pandemic health tips and think about how to stay healthy on the boat.
You get a cut on your hand, wash your hands. We've been hearing wash your hands all the time, and for this, it's particularly important. And I would advise, if at all possible, wash with soap and water.
All that and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
First, we're going to take a look at the numbers. Starting on the west side, yesterday's catch in the Nooshigak District was 12,000, bringing the season total to just over 26,000. That catch came from Igushik set netters. Nooshigak drift and set net fishers had their first full district opener this morning. The Nooshigak district-wide escapement was 96,300 yesterday, bringing the total escapement to 243,000. That means the total run in the Nooshigak crested 269,400 yesterday. That puts the total run in the Nooshigak almost 1.7 million fish behind where it was at this point in 2019. The Nooshigak River sonar counted 4,540 kings, bringing the total escapement for the king run to 15,940. 26,100 sockeye passed the tower, bringing the total sockeye escapement in the Nooshigak River to 113,600. Chum escapement was 3,000, making the chum escapement total 14,300. As of 6 a.m. this morning, the Wood River counting crew counted 11,500 fish, bringing the total escapement in the Wood River to 126,800. That means escapement has passed 100,000 fish floor for commercial fishing to be allowed. The Igushik tower crew counted 1,170 fish as of 6 a.m. this morning, bringing the escapement total there to 2,700. Fishers in Togiak caught 300 fish yesterday, bringing the total catch to 662. No escapement numbers from the district, though. Now over to the east side, daily escapement reached 50,000 in Igigik yesterday, bringing the total escapement fish count to 97,000. That's 7,000 escaped fish more than this point last year. After an opener yesterday, estimated harvest in Igigik was 59,000 for a total catch of 146,100. The drift fleet caught 85% of that harvest, while set netters caught the remaining 15%. Harvest is behind where it was last year. On this day in 2019, Igigik harvest had topped 578,000. Igigik has another opener going on right now for both set and drift fleet that will end at 11 p.m. tonight. Yesterday's escapement up the Naknek River was 12,300 fish for a total escapement of 37,300. No numbers yet for Kwijak or Lagnak escapement. 2019's escapement in the Naknek Kwijak district for June 24th was 92,700, putting 2020 almost 60,000 fish behind. After yesterday's drift opening in the Naknek section and a set opening in the full district, harvest increased by 19,500 fish, bringing the total harvest in the district up to 34,800 fish. Catch broke down with Quijac set netters hauling just over 6%, Naknek set netters bringing in 30% of the catch, and Drift Fleet harvesting the remaining 64% of yesterday's catch. That's also about 60,000 fish deficit from where the district was last year. The current openers for the Drift Fleet in the Naknek section and set netters in the Naknek Quijac district will end their 7-hour opener at 10:30 p.m. tonight. To wrap things up, we don't have numbers yet from the Ugashic opener yesterday or escapement from that district. 6,731 sockeye passed through the Chignik Weir yesterday. As of 2 p.m. today, no additional sockeye had passed through the weir. The total run so far is at 41,800. The early run is at 41,084. The late run total is at 720. 6 Chinook passed through the weir yesterday. No additional passed through the weir as of 2 p.m. today. The Chinook run is still at 24. The South Peninsula commercial fishery was closed yesterday, so there is nothing new to report. As it stands, the fishery has harvested 2,230 Chinook, 268,919 sockeye, 1.5 million pinks, and 409,800 chums. Now let's break down where people are fishing. There are a total of 921 vessels fishing the bay as of 9 a.m. today, 232 of which are D-boats. That will increase to 983 vessels in 48 hours, with 261 D-boats. The Nooshigak leads the bay with almost 52% of the vessel registrations. There are 478 vessels in the Nooshigak, 146 of which are D-boats. That will increase to 515, 166 of which will be D-boats on 9 a.m. on Saturday. Igigik comes in second. It's being fished by 242 boats, 58 of which are D-boats. That's 26% of the fleet. Those numbers will increase by 10 for a total of 252 Saturday morning, 61 of which will be D-boats. In third, we've got the Naknek Quijac, which has 17% of the base fleet, or 134 single-permit vessels fishing there, and 24 D-boats. That will increase to 170 boats on Saturday, 28 of which will be D-boats. Togiak has 31 vessels and no D-boats. That won't change in the next 48 hours. That's just 3% of the base fleet. Only 1% of the fleet is in Ugashik. There are 12 vessels in Ugashik, of which 4 are D-boats. That will increase to 15 boats at 9 a.m. Saturday with 6 D-boats. Down at the Port Muller Test Fishery, the boats fished stations 4 to 22 yesterday, catching a total of 231 fish. Station 10 had the largest index again yesterday, 108. Here's a breakdown of those numbers. Station 4 had an index of 2, one fish in the 4.5-inch mesh. Station 6 had an index of 8, one in the 4.5, and two in the 5 1/8. Station 8 had an index of 31, that is 12 in the 4.5 and two in the 5 1/8. Station 10 had an index of 108, 24 fish in the 4.5 and 41 in the 5 1/8. Station 12 had an index of 47, 10 in the 4.5, and 16 in the 5 1/8. Station 14 had an index of 2, 1 fish in the 5 1/8-inch mesh. Station 16 had an index of 37, 2 in the 4.5, and 21 in the 5 1/8. Station 18 had an index of 75, 29 in the 4.5, and 15 in the 5 1/8. Station 20 had an index of 41, 6 in the 4.5, and 15 in the 5 1/8. And Station 22 had an index of 23, 2 fish in the 4.5, and 10 in the 5 1/8. The Americanus was able to bring in more genetic samples from June 22nd and the 23rd. In the stock composition, 25% are attributed to the Wood River, 5.5% to the Nooshigak, 9% to the Quijac, 22.5% to the Naknek, 29% to Igigik, and 5% to Ugashik. In an email, Scott Rayburn said the Port Muller Test Fishery gets a lot of questions about what catches at certain stations mean for inshore fishing. He called that the million-dollar question. I'm going to read an excerpt of his response. Hopefully this will be helpful to some of the listeners out there. Rayburn says, "To establish station-specific estimates would require sampling one or two stations multiple times per day with a 5-to-6 vessel effort and analyzing many more fish in the genetics lab. In a sense, it is the million-dollar question. However, we can provide a qualitative answer to this question given the current budget and logistical constraints. All stocks are likely to be present at all stations, but there is a limit to the associations that can be made by station or a narrow group of stations. Generalizations are that Igigik and Ugashik stocks are more likely to pass through the inner stations than they are the outside stations. Those are stations 14 through 24. Nushigak District and Naknek-Quijak stocks are more likely to pass through the outer stations. Again, there are limits to this understanding and the methods available. We must group the station samples to obtain genetic results, and the historical genetic results prior to 2019 are largely limited to stations 2 through 10 or 12. Therefore, the relative use of stations 14 through 18 to each stock is impossible to ascertain. What we can say for sure is that sampling the entire transect last year improved overall accuracy of stock composition forecasts from Port Mueller samples. We'll include that whole response from Scott on this show's post on KDLG.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Fish Report.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
And we're back on this Thursday evening. The Chimay Clinic reported 6 new asymptomatic positive cases of COVID-19 yesterday. One is a seafood worker in the Lake and Peninsula Borough, one is a fisherman, and the other 4 are seafood workers in Bristol Bay Borough. This brings the number of active cases in the Bristol Bay Borough to 21 and the active cases in the Lake and Penn Borough to 16. Baywide, there are 53 active cases of COVID-19. The Nushigak section had its first opener today for both drifters and set netters. I caught up with Kendra Kapotik, who has this update. Hey, Kendra.
Hey.
So you were able to talk to Tim Sands about the first opener in the Nushigak section.
Right. There have been a few openers in the Igushik, but today was the first opener for the Nushigak section. Tim says the season is right about on time, but he's still really concerned for the Chinook salmon, or as most commoners know, kings.
We want to provide as much opportunity for the Nushigak kings to get by as we can. It's a balancing act, and that's why we having a short opener, only 5 hours for the drift fleet.
Sands also told me about how he has to balance the escapements and the openers. This is what makes it difficult trying to decide how long the fishermen will be able to harvest.
I feel good about it. We really wanted to wait and let kings go by. I feel like we did let a bunch of kings go by, but at the same time, we had to respond to escapement in the Wood River. And the true measure of the escapement in the Wood River is not what the escapement was when we made the announcement, but the true measure is what it will be Friday morning, because regardless of what the escapement is when we start fishing, there's still 24 hours of fish that are already past the district but haven't got to the tower yet.
So those daily run summaries, good for an overview, but not live numbers from the counting tower. Thanks for the update, Kendra.
For sure. Catch you later.
Nushigak setters have a 12-hour opener from 4 a.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow. That's June 26th, and that is for both the Nushigak and Igushik sections. Drifters in the Nushigak have a 5-hour opener from 7 a.m. until 12 p.m. tomorrow. Igigik has another opener going on right now for both set and drift fleet that will end at 11 p.m. tonight. The Naknek-Quijak District has an opener tomorrow. Drifters in the Naknek section have a 9-hour opener from 4:30 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on June 26th. The current set net opener in the Naknek-Quijak has a 15-hour extension from 10:30 p.m. tonight through 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. A new rule to the Paycheck Protection Program allows commercial fishing businesses to include their crew member payroll when they apply for the Paycheck Protection Program. The state announced the change today. Previously, the PPP recognized crew members as self-employed by the Internal Revenue Service. Senator Lisa Murkowski, Dan Sullivan, and Congressman Don Young urged the Department of Treasury and the Small Business Administration to make the fix. Murkowski said last month that the previous requirements left crew wages out of the equation when applying for the loans.
The PPP really didn't account for the fact that so many of our businesses in Alaska are seasonal. And, you know, when you think about the fisheries out there in Bristol Bay, that's certainly a seasonal business. It's the very definition of it.
In the announcement, she said, quote, enabling fishermen to secure the resources they need through PPP is not only fair, it means that these businesses so critical to Alaska have a fighting chance to stay afloat, unquote. Senator Sullivan called the new rule a common sense fix. Individual crew members will be able to calculate up to $100,000 in payroll made over a 12-week period. The PPP will be 2.5 times that total average. So, for example, if a crew member made $100,000, that would be divided by 12, which equals $8,300. That is then multiplied by 2.5, and it equals $20,800. Fishermen will have until June 30th to apply for PPP funds. Today was the first day on the job for Bristol Bay Borough's new manager. Mark Lynch will act as interim borough manager for an undetermined amount of time. Lynch has been shadowing departing borough manager Greg Brelsford since June 15th. Lynch was previously city manager of Whittier and Cordova and holds a master's of science with an emphasis in public administration. In a statement published on Facebook, departing borough manager Greg Brelsford said he will be in Anchorage, spending time with family and in church and volunteer work. Many people in Bristol Bay know Dr. Kathy Heineman from her work with the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation. She was the clinical director there, and she recently retired. But before she did, she dropped by the KDLG studio to give fishermen some tips on staying healthy during the season. As we head into the fishing season, we have a lot of attention focused on COVID-19 and how to prevent an outbreak of that disease in this region. But there are recurring health issues that fishermen deal with every year on the boat, you know, because they're around a very damp environment, they're outside, they're exposed to the elements, and they're also in very close quarters with each other. What are some things that fishermen can look out for, and what can they do to prevent or address these recurring issues before they become real problems?
There are many things, and I'm going to use the children's song Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes as a means of talking about yourself from the top to the bottom. With regards to your head, number one, it's important that your head be clear. Please do not drink on your boat. Do not do drugs on your boat. People who are impaired have a greater chance of falling overboard or just slipping and falling on the boat and becoming injured. Periodically, and probably almost every season, we see somebody in the hospital that has come in because they are going through withdrawals on their boat. This is preventable. Stop drinking before you get on your boat. 2 weeks before you get on your boat would be optimal, I think. But just do not drink or use drugs on the boat. A second thing that we often see are things in the eyes, most likely fish scales. Sometimes pieces of metal because you're grinding something, sometimes just dirt because you're traveling. Please use glasses when you are grinding anything. There's nothing to ruin your season like a metal fragment stuck in your cornea. And when you are picking fish, you know fish are covered with slime and scales, and wearing some kind of glasses, and they can even be as simple as a pair of sunglasses, which you probably ought to have on anyway to protect your eyes from the effects of the sun when it shines, would be helpful. Moving down to the shoulders, everybody knows that they are going to strain something in this season. It is not too late to start doing some exercises to protect your muscles, but it would have been better if you started that in May, in all honesty. The kinds of exercises that you need to do is making sure that your shoulders can handle the tough work of pulling fish, as well as your forearms and your fingers. Attention to your back is also important because, of course, you're going to be lifting a lot of stuff. Since you probably won't have access to be able to do calisthenics, well, you could possibly do calisthenics on your boat, I suppose, but the more important thing is to make sure you stretch after your business of picking fish is over. To help with carpal tunnel, which is a condition where the nerve in the wrist is pinched and gives numbness and tingling to the hands, that's a common thing when you're doing repetitive motion, like pulling fish out of nets. And a simple way to stretch for that is to put your hand against a surface, like the rail of your boat. And if I'm using my right hand as an example, so I'm spreading all the fingers of my right hand out, and I'm grabbing my right thumb with my left hand and pulling on that, and just hold that stretch for 10 to 15 seconds, and that will help open up the carpal tunnel, which is the tunnel in the wrist that the nerve and the tendons and the arteries and the veins go through. After you've picked fish, a stretch on either side will probably save you some misery. I know fishing is wet, nasty work, and most folks wear gloves most of the time while they're picking fish, but fish have on their slime a kind of bacteria that can cause fish finger, which is an infection that enters through a hole in the skin and rises up and can become very dangerous. However, it is easily treated with antibiotics, particularly if it's caught soon. So, number one, you get a cut on your hand, wash your hands. We've been hearing wash your hands all the time, and for this, it's particularly important. And I would advise, if at all possible, wash with soap and water. Because I think that is more effective in getting the slime off rather than just piling over the slime with the alcohol hand rub.
Obviously, you're going to get your hands cut up a little bit at some point. That's probably going to happen when you're around fish. So how do people know, even if they've washed their hands, how do you know if you've got an infection?
The signs of infection are redness, and particularly redness that starts at the area of the cut and moves up toward your heart. So whatever direction is up toward your heart from wherever you're cut, you got a red line going up that way, you need to come in and get seen. This is important because caught early, oral antibiotics alone are good to cure this. If you let it go too long, you may wind up needing to stay on shore for a while getting IV antibiotics.
We'll have the second part of that interview with Dr. Kathy Hindman tomorrow. The whole interview will be posted on today's show if you want to take a listen. And most importantly, Dr. Hindman wants to remind all fishermen to wear a life jacket.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
That's all for this evening, folks. We are going to take a look at the marine weather forecast, and we have some messages to the fleet. In the Bristol Bay marine weather forecast, a west wind at 20 knots tonight, seas at 4 feet. Friday, a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. And Friday night, a west wind at 20 knots, becoming a southwest wind at 10 knots after midnight, seas at 3 feet, and patchy fog. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, tonight a northwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog. Those conditions continuing into Friday, a west wind Friday at 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. And Friday night, a southeast wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet, patchy fog throughout tonight and into Friday. In the tidal forecast, at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, high tide at 6:56 p.m. at 14.9 feet, low tide tomorrow morning at 1:33 a.m. at 1.3 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 1:50 a.m. at -0.7 feet. High tide at 8:09 a.m. at 24 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, low tide at 12:11 a.m. at -0.8 feet. High tide at 6:58 a.m. at 18.9 feet. In messages to the fleet this evening, shout out to the Duta family fishing company from the Dirty Fremont people who are jealous that we're not out in the mud with you. Hopefully there's still beer on the beach from Kenny and Sarah. And Kenny and Sarah will get your song request up tomorrow. To Ruby on the Wolverine from Captain Kate. We miss you here at the bunkhouse, but we know that you are helping your dad a lot. Hope to see you this summer. Howard, Chloe, Avery, KB, David, and Owen say hi. We're ending the show on a musical note this evening, one that starts in quarantine. Quarantine can obviously be very stressful. Who knew doing nothing could be so hard? But it has been an incubator of creativity for some people. A Fish Report fan dropped a hot tip about an album written during quarantine that has a song about Bristol Bay. Brian Vanois followed up.
So the album is called Cabin Fever, Songs from Quarantine. It was written by John McCutcheon. He's a Grammy-nominated American folk musician, and he has over 40 albums since 1970. Some of these have to do with the pandemic, like Frontline, Sheltered in Place, and 6 Feet Away, but one of the songs has to do with escaping out here to Bristol Bay.
And he's not talking about fish escapement, right?
Definitely not. He's singing about how beautiful the small communities around here are, like here in Dillingham and over in Clark's Point. And he even takes a few lines to talk about the Pebble Mine threatening the way of life here. Seems to be pretty common for folk artists like Dana Lyons, David Rovics, and Cy Conn. In the song, he praises the abundance of salmon in the area and kind of how there's no other place like this in the world.
Let's take a listen.
When I got home, I'd seen it all. I didn't want no more. So I took my time and made my mind to work Alaska's shore. I love the quiet, I love the fish, and I love I'm far away. So I took my pension, bought a boat to sail in Bristol Bay. Oh, I made every mistake there was, but I finally found my feet. Hired two hands in Dillingham, joined the Gillnet fleet. Down the Nooshkak, past Clark's Point, clear to the Bering Sea. Golden fish, that gracie dish, caught by folks like me. Where the skies at night are the northern lights, it'll take your breath away. And the salmon run till the summer's done up here in Bristol Bay. Down a few years back, there's gold and copper ore up Gavishak Tuliam by the drains down to the shore. The world's largest fishery is standing in their way. Our jobs, our lives, our kids, our wives, our world is Bristol Bay. Where the skies at night are the northern lights, it'll take your breath away. And the salmon run till the summer's done up here in Bristol Bay. Well, it took me a while, but I figured it out when I was in Iraq. And I swore I'd never be used again if ever I got back. For their thirst for oil and money, boys, they're willing to wage war. And you can bet they'll rob your home and job to get their goddamn ore. Sometimes at night I sit on deck and watch the salmon run. They spawn up river, swim to sea, come back home when they're done. All their lives they know there is but one place they belong. This is where I proudly swear I'll fight my whole life long. Where the skies at night are the northern lights, and it'll take your breath away. And the salmon run till the summer is done up here in Bristol Bay. And the salmon run till the summer is done up here in Bristol Bay.